Adelina Borsato is a graduate of the University of Gastronomic Science in Polenzo, Italy. A student of philosophy and of food, sweetness, pastry, someone who's going to apply the philosophy of aesthetics to sweetness today. Her thesis was about sweetness, and I think you're going to be speaking to the book you have written. You're now at Ritsumeikan University in Kyoto, so thank you for joining us from Kyoto, having just probably arrived from Osaka Airport after traveling from Italy. Your mind is probably still in Italy. Your body is in Kyoto, and the presentation is in Oxford. So, this is the world we live in.
Beautiful.
Madalena, the floor is yours.
Thank you very much. So, before start clarifying the title, I would like to start by presenting myself, or at least my academic path. That is something that is related also to the topic. I studied philosophy, as Stanley said. I studied very strict philosophy, Western philosophy, German idealism. And after many years of these kind of things, I felt the need, the necessity to stop making so abstract things, so not life-related things, so to say. And I start baking, and I start learning a craft, learning a job, and I became a pastry assistant in different labs in Italy. And then PhD came, and PhD was somehow the connection between my two passions, that is philosophy and particularly aesthetics and pastry and sweetness. And in this sense, I can explain very briefly already this idea of aesthetics, because aesthetics in the philosophical field is mainly related, and I'm always speaking about Western philosophy. There are connections also with some Oriental philosophy, but I want to speak about aesthetics in the Western philosophy, was always related with this idea of beauty, of art, of a philosophy of art. While the original sense of aesthetics is deals with food also, because deals with the perception, deals with the senses, and not only the senses of the art, which are normally sight and hearing, but also taste, smell, touch, which are the senses also of our relationship with food. And aesthetics has to do also with the pleasure, with our desires, with our emotions. And these are all elements which are essential for an aesthetic study that is not only related to art, even if there are a lot of relationships also with the artistic world, and I will tell you later about it. Now I'm doing a postdoc in Japan, dealing with gastronomy and with philosophy of food from another perspective, and writing about Japanese aesthetics. But today I want to present you this nice book, a very pinky book. I'm really proud of the pinkiness of this book. Unfortunately, is for now only in Italian language, but I'm thinking about translating it in English. It would be nice. So about the topic of today, I would like to start my presentation before explaining the title and then the main topic of the book, the main topics of the book. I would like to start with the 30 seconds of this video, if it works and if it goes. That as a very subtle, let me try this, because normally it goes if I go out from the presentation.
But if you've never tasted a donut, you wouldn't really know how sweet and how good a donut is. If you've never had that experience, transcendental meditation is like that. Transcendental meditation gives an experience much sweeter than the sweetness of this donut. It gives the experience of the sweetest nectar of life pure bliss consciousness. As Maharishi says, those who don't know, they don't know. Those who know, they enjoy. I hope this following documentary gives you some good news about the sweetness of life.
I love David Lynch, and I love this idea of sweetness dealing with a lot of different things, and not only with food or with a donut and like weird video. So first of all, I would like to explain the title of my book and say some words about the three main areas of my book and of my 4-year research, which are taste, sweet forms, and pharmacon. And I put it in bold because I think it's maybe for you the most interesting part, and I will deepen it a little bit more. So the contemporary dynamics dealing with the sugar and the ethical and political role. The story begins, so to say, to explain the title, with the sweetness and with an apple, like most of the most important stories of many cultures. They begin with an apple, and not speaking only about the Bible, but this is to say that sweetness is first of all the property of being sweet. So is has to do simply with taste, and with the from these and it comes all the it starts with the apple, so to say, because sweet is considered the most, one of the most, or simply the most basic human taste, which is biologically necessary, and in this sense is an index of edibility and of energy supply. And from these, by extension, sweet food becomes an expression, became an expression of care, of love, of intimacy. On the other end, we go from the apple. My research went from the apple to these, that is, this chaotic contemporary situation. Because on the other end, the sweet has also very different sweet and sweetness as also have also very different meanings, and is considered especially in its sugary. All these things that I put in this chaotic slide are things that contains sugar, of course. It's considered to be harmful for health, almost somehow a poison that brings us unhappiness, not only harmful for the body, but also psychologically, and some kind of sedative nowadays. So in order to go from the apple to this chaotic situation, I had to explore many different fields. And while my research was primarily an aesthetic philosophical research, I had to explore and to take to venture into veridology, to philology, to art history. Witness recall discourses related to very heterogeneous and different and unrelated context, eras, and meanings. In this slide, I put all the possible ambiguities and all the possible contradictions that has to do with this, with sweet taste and with sweetness. This idea that the first taste, but at the same more it's unnecessary if we think about pastry, if we think about sweet food in general, as positive but also negative meanings, is edible, but has a lot to do also with non-edible, because in the history of pastry we see a lot of foods that were made not to in order to be eaten, and these are some among many of the ambiguities and of the contradiction that are inside this idea of sweetness and this idea of sweet food. And these were the some of the research questions I try to cover with my research, with my book. So starting with the individual level, to the social, to the ethical and political role of sweetness, of sugar. Of sugar, as I already said, and presentation at the very end with the possibility of an education on sweet. Further with the title and go to the second part of the title because the title is Sweetness as an Aesthetic Relationship. And I already explained the aesthetics part, so to say, but I think the relationship is very, very important and fundamental to understand it. Not only because sweet food can be understood as a primary relationship, if we think about phylogenetically about fruits, but also ontogenetically, so in the evolution of the human. As the mother's milk, I mean, many of the research about it, I mean, they say that we like mother's milk because of the lactose it contains, because of the sugar it contains. Relationship has also a deeper and a more interesting meaning for me, which is the one connected to the world of food. So this idea that food continuously breaks down the boundaries between inside and outside, between body and environment. And in this sense, when I speak about sweetness as a relationship, as relational, I speak also about an ecological idea. So this idea that we are always in an environment and there is a deep in interaction, not only interaction, but a connection between bodies, foods, and environment. So this idea of relationship comes from the essence of food. So the fact that every gustatory identity, we could say, every identity that has to do with taste, consists of a continuous exchange between inside and outside, between eater and food. The identity is originally relational. I didn't want to think about sweet food as an object and me as a subject. Dealing with the relationship somehow comes before, comes first. The other step I want to do to explain the title is about the marginality that has a deep connection also with these. Food in the history of the Western philosophy was always a marginal topic, not even marginal, was always a no, was never a topic, so to say, because food. As taste, food as pleasure, has been subordinated in the philosophical discussion from ancient time, but until 30 or 40 years ago. And in this sense, speaking about aesthetics means speaking about a part of philosophy which is already marginal because. Has to do with the pleasure, has to do with bodies, has to do with senses, which for the Western philosophy have always been problems, so to say, because everything that has to do with the body was a problem for the Western philosophy. And in this sense, to make a step further, food is a marginal topic in aesthetics. And the third step is that sweet food has a double marginality, so to say, because it's not only a food, which is marginal, but it's also something that we consider nowadays unnecessary. Of course, with all the contradiction that these things contains, because I mean, it's also the first taste and our evolution has adapted to have a very high threshold for the perception of sweet taste. But at the same time, it's considered something that is harmful and is unnecessary for our normal diet, so to say. Quinn, so this idea of marginality has a deep connection with the how I wanted to deal with this topic. And this was to somehow to dissect the title because I think it's important. And now we can go to the first part of the book. The first the research was about I tried to pose the basis of sweetness starting from the many possible perspectives that are all interconnected in dealing with this giant topic. So starting with the scientific level, so to say, so the phylogenetic, the ontogenetic, the psychological evolution of the sweet taste, to turn and to deal with the words. So I start asking myself, what does it mean? What does it imply to recognize sweet as the most natural of all tastes? And then from this idea of world making, trying to understand also the word making. So because sweet and sweetness became metaphors and became words for many different fields, not only speaking about food, but also about emotions, about feel levels of I deepen the history mostly of religion and of theology and of philology. And I put you here a very confused tema about the etymologies of sweet taste. I don't want to go deep in it because it's a little bit complicated, but it was only to make to understand this idea that also the words as a root that has a deep connection with not only with the taste, but also with the gluttony, with the truth, but also with the pleasure, with the persuasion, with this idea of convincing the other. In this sense, I found a deep connection also with this idea of the most basic taste, but also the most ambiguous and ambivalent for the many, many meanings it contains in itself. The last part of this first topic of the sweet taste was for me, I wanted to deepen the metaphors and where we can find the sweet taste and sweetness. And to do this, I try to find all the images that are connected to sweet taste, and to also to try to understand it in order to have some kind of order to do this, because it is really a word and a concept that is everywhere. I try to search sweetness in all the other senses, not only in taste. So starting from the whiteness or the candor of sight. Candor came from candy, so this idea of naivety and candor also in our sense of sight, going through the music, the sweetness of the voice, of the poetry, of the music itself. It's a powerful metaphor, the one of sweetness in hearing, through the touch, through this idea of softness, of kneading, of everything that has to do with, and also all the ambiguities that has the connection with smell, and asking myself what is a sweet odor, even if it's something that does not exist actually, because sweet is always sweetness is always connected to a taste, but in the history of literature, for example, there is a lot about the sweetness of I wanted to close this first basic part by asking myself which is the contrary of sweet, because I think it's something really interesting if you ask someone which of sweet taste all the other flavors, so to say, and not only the flavors, not only the taste, but also many other different ideas. I put here some, but the idea is that an analysis, a negative analysis of sweet made me understand that it's like it seems that sweet, unlike other flavors or tastes, already contains in itself all the possibility and all the oppositions. So it turns out once more to be complementary and contradictory and not fixed substance, not something we cannot find only something sweet and try to understand sweet without dealing with all the other possibility dealing with it. And so I try to understand sweetness and sweet taste as a process more than a fixed substance. I think maybe it can sound a little bit confused, but it was an idea of dealing with something that it recalls also this idea of food that between the eater and the food, the inside and the outside, and so it is sweet. Sweet sweetness is a process more than a substance. The second part, I will go a little bit quicker. The second part of the book is about forms, is about the symbols, because I wanted to deal also with pastry in a very in a more concrete way, and dealing with the with pastry. Means dealing with the levels too, and as I said before, it has to do with religion, with the divine, and above all with all the ceremonies, all the rites of passages that for you anthropologists are something really really interesting and fundamental, with this idea of the gift, with this idea of hospitality. Sweet food characterize all our moment of transformation into the society and of the individual. Just think about marriages, about funerals, about baptism. There is always something sweet to help us go through this moment of transformation into the society. And that's why the symbolism of sweet food is very important, because it's not only a visual symbolism, it is something that we eat. And in this sense, it transforms ourselves, first of all, and transforms all together the society in which there is this rite of passages and this evolution. Somehow, and sweet food contains many meanings, the one of care, the one of sacrifice, the one of, here are some visual examples of very traditional pastry that has to do with this idea of symbolism of sweet food. In this second part, I tried also to understand sweet from the standpoint of the artistic world, because sweet food, more than any other type of food, had a very connection I put here this very famous quote from the Antoine Carême, who was the founder of the new national French cuisine, but also European cuisine in the 19th century. And the famous quote says that the fine arts are five in numbers, namely painting, sculpture, poetry, music, architecture, the principal branch of the latter being pastry. So pastry for most of the European history was considered as a sculpture or as an architecture with a very strict connection with the world of art. And this brings us also, of course, to the evolution also of this connection with the world of art, with the introduction of industrial food, with the use of sugar and the role of sugar in the 20th century. And also this idea of reproducibility. I don't want to deepen it, but it's the final step also in dealing with the sweetness and sweet food as an artistic medium. And then I finished this second part with a connection with the third and final part of this presentation of my book, Which is a specific case study on conventual pastry. Conventual pastry was the pastry made by nuns in the monastery. For me, it was very important to try to understand the sweetness also as a tool of communication, because the nuns communicated. They couldn't speak; they were not allowed to speak or to be seen, but they could communicate through this embodied knowledge, through this making of pastry, and through their kneading of pastry. And these were for me very important, again, to understand sweetness not only as an object of art, as an artifact, but also as a process, as a medium, as something that make a connection, make a relationship between me and another, the other. This gives me this book, which is the most negative one, so to say. So this idea of the risks of sweetness as stickiness, as nausea, as disgust, because sweetness has a deep connection also with distaste and disgust. I put here a very famous quote from Sartre. Sartre wrote very interesting pages about the stickiness of and the viscosity of sweetness. That is something that creates somehow a kind of relationship, because it glues together things. From this idea, I could understand better the role of sugar nowadays. This idea of pharmakon, I wanted to speak about pharmakon, because pharmakon is a Greek word that means both medicine and poison at the same time, and that can really really make us sugar as the perfect example of the contemporary dynamics. This idea of we call it nowadays we speak about an easy sweetness due to this massive use of sugar by the food industry that contributed and still contributes to some kind of a flattening of flavors, a flattening of tasties. There is this flat sweetness throughout all the things that we eat, all the things that we experience, and all the things that we perceive, that that accentuates this idea, this invasiveness of sweet. And I think that sugar for the role it had in the history and for the role it has today is the perfect example of a pharmacon. So, because it seems that it acts on us like the most insidious poisons. It draws us to itself until we cannot bear it anymore, until we can only perceive nausea and disgust. But at the same time, as you can see from these from the 60s and 70s advertisement, sugar was always for most of the history of our culture was considered a medicine, first a drug, then a medicine, and then it becomes something else. The evolution of sugar is really in treasure of luxury, but it makes it a power device, a source of violence, also a source of harmful things, and to do this, I of course I use the most important book that you probably know, that is the word of Sidney Mintz, Sweetness and Power, in order to understand this idea of the globalization of sweet taste that we are dealing with it with, that we are living nowadays. And if in our time sweetness is mostly demonized and considered harmful, is characterized by a history that understand sugar as something else, and most think only about sugar, but sugar is a part of what sweet and sweetness mean, as I try to explain until now. And this idea of farm also a poison. So these big contradictions that sugar, but also sweetness, contains, made me ask myself if it is possible nowadays to go beyond these prepackaged, so to say, experience. And okay, I close. Is it possible to educate on sweetness? That was my question. And using Michel Serre, I tried to say that go beyond this idea of sweetness that we have today. Maybe we can try to understand it as a process and as a way to know things. Michel Serre speaks about a sweet knowledge. The sweet age, which is the age that we are living in, age of relationality and of ecological relation all. And I'm really sorry for this connection. First time that happens. So, and thank you.